1223 Gresham Foyer here with you. Make sure you sign up to have the Gresham Foyer podcast downloaded to the device of your choice. And I would encourage you to do the same for the gentleman who joins us now. Andy Hart is with us, a part of the Breaking Boston podcast each and every morning that you can get through WEEI.com. If it isn't every morning, it might be 3 days a week. Hart, good afternoon.
It's 5 days a week.
It is. Ooh. Okay, I was right.
Weekdays, baby. Every morning we bring you our instant reactions, which over the last 2 weeks, many of them have been, well, that sucked about the Bruins and Celtics.
Yeah, and last night sucked pretty bad.
Oh, that was sucky, sucky.
What was your biggest takeaway from last night's Celtics game, Hart?
I think it's one that I've been sort of having for a while now, and it's so go the Celtics, so go Jason Tatum, like the direct tie, and it's not breaking news. It's the NBA. Your superstar matters more than anybody, more than the coach, more than everything. And this thing with Jason Tatum where 0 for 8 in game 4, 0 for 5 in this game, slow starts, and you know, I wrote a little column about it on the website today. The end stats, if you just look at the box score and go, wow, Jason Tatum scored 36, had 10 rebounds, 5 assists, like, those are MVP caliber numbers. But it's fake. It's paper numbers. It's all, you know, those are stats for losers kind of numbers. He had the worst plus minus, I think it was minus 26 in the game. And this is the guy that I keep belaboring this point. Every commercial break, you see Jason Tatum for something, right? Potato chips or sneakers or Gatorade. Like, he's Mr. Peyton Manning. But I also feel the comparison to Manning is that early career Manning when, yeah, he puts up numbers. Yeah, he's an MVP candidate. Yeah, he does a lot of commercials. No, he's not a winner.
My son has bacon.
That's what Jason Tatum is.
Well,
right now.
Yeah,
not a winner.
So the nickname for Manning used to be the best regular season quarterback in the NFL. Right, because he can never quite close it out, and you know. So, do you think that Tatum is protected, almost like he's a made man without actually achieving anything?
Absolutely, because we are so quick to anoint him, whatever the level is we want to put him on. Second he arrived, he's Paul Pierce, and then he's your superstar no matter what. Even though Jaylen Brown is a really good player, drafted in the same slot, you know, similar age, developing players, but everybody was like, Tatum's the guy. This is Tatum's team. And then it was, he's all NBA. He's one of the top 10 players in the world. He's one of the top 5 players in the world. He's an MVP. Oh, but when he stinks, we got to look at what did Mazzulla do? What did the role players do? Horford couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Jaylen Brown turns the ball over. There's always fingers pointing when it needs to be thumbs, in my opinion. Like the end of last year, he failed to show up for the finals. And I'm not trying to say the guy sucks, will always suck. He's not a winner. He's not a dog. But to date, he has not met the challenge of an NBA superstar in the postseason when his team needs him the most. And the thing that these slow starts are most infuriating.
Oh, I'm with you.
Like, because the numbers end up, and people will say, well, he did this or he did that, but it matters. Like, if you get to 36 points, but you start 0 of 5, 0 of 8, and the tone is set early, I don't care. Like, not all 36-point efforts or not all shooting efforts are made the same. And these slow starts, I think, are a part of a tone that is set early for this team. Now, last night, total system failure. I blame the coach. I blame every player. I do not blame the crowd or the building. That's another one. Oh, what home field advantage? Oh, the court and the garden. Yeah, no. Do not blame fans. It's the people that are in the uniform and on the sidelines. But total system failure, but that starts with Jason Tatum.
Why the slow starts? Do you have a theory? Because you would think it would be something that a guy as talented as Tatum might be able to grow out of.
And he still may. That is the one thing I am hesitant, you know, to really label him Carmelo or label him a loser. He can't win. He's not a dog. Now, I will say he has struggled in comparison this postseason, right? We've seen some dogs. Jimmy Butler is the first and foremost one out there. But, you know, Steph Curry putting up 50 in a game 7. Devin Booker and his evolution out for the Suns. Like, guys that and even the 76ers, like, they're a questionable team, right? We're supposed to question their coach, their superstar, and their veteran, except their coach, their superstar, and their veteran have done the job to get them the series lead and the 82% chance to win this series based on history. But Jason Tatum is still young, and I try to remember that, but gosh, he's had a lot of playoff games. Gosh, so, he's been in this role for a long time.
Do you believe in, like, you know, defining moments for players and organizations that, you know, that have been basically, you know, mocked and made the butt of all the jokes, and suddenly kind of like have these defining moments and it just clicks and suddenly they understand, just everything is like the Matrix. They just, I feel like that's the Sixers.
Yeah.
As opposed to what I felt like was the Celtics last year.
Yeah, an epiphany or a coming-of-age moment for players, teams, coaches, organizations. I absolutely believe in that. But I also believe in there are some people that when the game is on the line, that's when they really are at their best. I know we always, Derek Jeter is always sort of the poster child for clutch, and that flies in the face of analytics, and that's been the debate for a long time now. But Christian, I'm sure you've seen this even when you coach kids or at the youth level. There's people that just step up. Like when the game is on the line or when they're, you know, the thing, sphincters are getting tight, as Charles Barkley would say, with other kids. There's some people that seem to thrive, seem to have an ability to make a play in that moment. And I do believe there is a clutch gene, or is there is a comfort, or you know what? It might just be a don't give a you know what gene, right? Like they don't, they just see it as the game is on the line. This is what my team needs me to do. But I do also believe in, and I don't think a lot of people are born that way. I don't think a lot of people are born comfortable in the tough situation. I believe that's why there are all-time greats. There are Jeters and Bradys and these various people that are, you know, Robert Horry, you know, right? Like, he's not a superstar, but you're pretty comfortable with him taking a three with the game on the line. But there are also a lot more examples of what you're talking about. There's like an evolution, there's a process. And then all of a sudden, whether it's experience taking over or whether it's, you know what, I'm sick of failing, or whether it's just a chemistry between a team and a player, I do believe there is a way to learn to become a winner and clutch and get the job done.
Andy Hart at WEEI.com and the Breaking Boston podcast here with Gresh and Fourier. We got everything squared away on Twitch now. Christian on the road, by the way, out at the University of Binghamton. He's doing a kid pickup. Hart is home. By the way, Hart, your big TV appearance last night?
Uh-oh.
I got a text or two or three, or there was some people in the building who noticed that, are you painting? Because we see you with hats all the time.
Painting
are
what?
You painting the follicles there?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I just wondered. There,
one person on the show does not need to mess with his hair. It's au natural.
All right. I didn't
say big guy. You say fella.
All right, they go right to Fourier. Hey,
listen, you missed all the short jokes before you came on.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you should be an expert on my hair because you're the tall guy, so you look down on the top of my head all the time. Yeah. You know it's the real Andy.
Yeah, I didn't see it. All I know is that as soon as Gress sent me a text, I started sending short jokes.
I did. I think I had a little product in my hair last night. Maybe that threw people off.
Ooh. Oh, you know what? Berries? No, when I put product in my hair, it does look darker.
It's different.
Nope,
yeah.
I'm with
that
you.
Could have been the effect.
And we're so used to seeing you with a hat on. You know,
I'm breaking in this new one. It's a LXL stretchy fit hat that slight headache, but I am going to win this battle. I am going to win this battle and stretch this damn thing out and wear it.
So the quick football topic, because
one size fits all.
Which is a myth, which is not even true.
Completely. The class action lawsuit I want to start someday.
Oh,
that's not fair. If
you
tell me it's one size fits all and it doesn't fit, then you owe me something. That's the way this world works.
And how
litigation
is that possible? Okay, because one size. Okay, yeah. I don't want to go down
for hats. It doesn't work. No,
it doesn't work for anything.
In the words of Costanza, whenever Jerry Seinfeld called in the bomb threat and wanted everybody to get a fitted hat day, you know, what if a pinhead shows up? What am I going to do then?
Any thoughts on the schedule release? Obviously, the one thing that we know is that the Patriots are going to play the Indianapolis Colts in Germany. What is that? November 12th.
So you could get a shot at Anthony Richardson. And for this defense against athletic quarterbacks in recent years, that is a bad thing. I know they added some athletes, and maybe that's like a Richardson versus a Marte Mapu breakout party. Our athlete versus your athlete from the draft. I don't love that matchup if I'm a New England fan. But no, the thing I'm most interested in, and please join myself, the aforementioned Nick Fitzy Stevens and Rich Keefe, 6-11 p.m.
Jeez.
On Thursday night.
Baby.
We will have a Rich Keefe draft party special for the entirety of the Patriots and the NFL schedule that's being released, but also stick around for an extra hour for a little Celtics post-game talk where we could be talking about how Joe Mazzulla went down Montgomery Boulevard and ran a team into the ground that was supposed to compete for a title. But no, the most interested I am in the schedule is sort of primetime games and that perception of, do the Patriots even really rate anymore? Like, do they have games where you're like, oh, the NFL still wants to see them on this network at this, you know, primetime, big games? Because if I look at it, you know, we see these power rankings. Oh, they're 22, they're 23, whatever they are. It feels like the Patriots are now the other woman, so to speak, in primetime matchups. Like, they are, they're there because Aaron Rodgers is on that game, or they're there because Lamar Jackson is in that game. They're not there because of their quarterback or their franchise. So the whole new age primetime measurement, you know what contest.
Yeah, isn't the best tell to see where what your Q rating is as a team is, like, you look at Black Friday. So the Black Friday game is going to be Dolphins at Jets.
Yep.
Your Christmas Day game is going to be Giants at Eagles. Now, both teams, obviously the Eagles being as good as they are, Giants made the playoffs in divisional game, you know, but I do think that your Q rating will be, you know, it'll be obvious based on where they have you lined up. Like, Germany, yep, for me, does it. That everyone, it's, that's almost like a punishment. We got to go to Germany, we got to go to London.
And that's living off your reputation. Like, internationally, like, isn't, you know, the Bulls are still one of the most popular teams on the planet because of Michael Jordan and the 90s Bulls and the titles. Like, there's lasting effects to those logos, whether it's the Bulls or the Yankees or sort of the classic teams. And I think the Patriots internationally are that. Plus, it's their home territory or whatever the hell they call that now in this modern.
Did the Patriots claim Germany because of Vollmer?
Could be. And what's his name? The other guy. Who was the other guy who was here for a short
Jakob span? Johnson?
Jakob Johnson was here. Vollmer was here. And there's one more that does their preseason broadcasts in the German.
So the Patriots
language.
Have Germany and the Jaguars have London?
Yeah. Although that could work out differently. Jaguars could end up in London as actual home base.
Well, what I heard again was today that this is going to happen. Now, maybe about the whole four-team division in London.
Yeah. No, and it makes sense. I don't know why it couldn't make sense. Like, you fly to the West Coast for whatever that is, right? 6 hours?
Yeah.
Why can't you fly to London?
Yeah, but if you're a West Coast team and you have to play that, call it the, you know, European division, you would be flying 12 hours, 13 hours.
This is going to be part of expansion, so it's going to be a 36-team NFL at that point, probably. So the scheduling will alter. It's not like you're going to be every year going to California.
No, listen, I hear you. I think
there's too much
players,
money there, right?
No, you're right. No, it's going to happen, and the travel is not going to be a big deal. The NFL is going to treat football players like they do like baseball. Like, you're here on a 14 day road trip,
right?
And when you come back, you'll recover.
I mean, didn't we always say you can't have 17 or 18 games because of player safety? You can't play on Thursday night because of player safety. You can't do this. You can't do this. And what do they keep doing? This. And you know what they keep doing? Thank you. Give me the money? Hey, you guys count this. We're up to 20-something billion. Huh. Like, the money talks, and that's all that matters.
Well, and that's what the players are reacting to. Oh, the salary cap's going to go up how much? Oh,
right.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll take that and run.
Look at quarterbacks and receivers in the way. You know, we're talking $50 million a year for quarterback. We're talking receivers going over $30 million a year. Would they be happy to spend 10 days in London if their salary doubles? Absolutely.
What do you make of Jacksonville being put back-to-back weeks 4 and 5? They're going to play a game in Wembley and then a game in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, whatever that is.
It's what we just talked about. I think they're just laying the foundation for them to potentially...
Oh, no, they've been doing it for 10 years.
No, I know. But why haven't they pulled the trigger yet then? I mean, because I know they played two games, but now they're going like back-to-back weeks there. So it's almost like the NFL is like, okay, you're our London sacrificial lamb. We'll take care of you by just going back-to-back weeks. Whereas I think before they might have sent them over there separately once before and once after a bye week.
Right. And I do think part of it could be at the request of the coaching staff. Bill always gets his request when he asks, can we have West Coast? Can we stay out there? And I wonder if Doug Peterson said, okay, if we're doing this, and obviously Khan and the ownership group has some pull over there and over here as this relationship continues to evolve. I think that's probably at the behest of the Jaguars to make their life better.
Tony Khan runs AEW. They've already sold 60,000 tickets for a show at the end of August in Wembley Stadium, and they haven't even announced the card yet.
Right.
So just showing how those people react over there. Like, we're used to, oh, we can go to one of 20 music venues around the region and see a bunch of people. Whereas whenever there's a big event in Wembley Stadium, it's a little different in terms of the way fans react to it. They want to go because it's a happening more than anything else.
And there's probably a little bit of a test here, back-to-back weeks. Does the audience support that team? Because players, you know, we've always seen this. The games in London or internationally, you see every jersey. Like, every team is represented in the crowd. But are they evolving into the Jaguars have a support base there? Will somebody go to back-to-back games? Like, are they willing to fork out? Is this not just a one-off event? Oh, the NFL's in town. It's the circus, traveling car. No. My team is here consecutive weeks. I'm going to go to both weeks, regardless of the cost or the headache or the hassle. Like, that's where you start to develop passion. It's almost like fans that did, what was it last year? It was the Arizona-Vegas double dip for the Patriots. There were Patriots fans that are like, yeah, I'll go see my team. And that's when you've hooked in a consumer. They are hooked on your product, your team, and I think this is a step in that direction.
All right, so Foyer, I want to start with you, and then I want to get to Hart on this one. So it looks like Miami will play Kansas City in Germany. So there's no revenge spot for Tyreek Hill to play in Arrowhead Stadium. Foyer, is that a blessing in disguise for the Dolphins so that this knucklehead isn't tempted by wanting to go back to Kansas City and do something stupid?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would probably be sweeter if he could actually do it in Kansas City, and who knows what the hell he would do. But, you know, because what is he going to do? I think, okay, congratulations. We won a Super Bowl without you. We were right. Like, we wanted to pay you. We just didn't want to pay you that much money. We loved you, but you were trying to shake us down, and we won without you. So I don't know where the venom and, like, the wanting to pay back the Chiefs. Like, they were obviously proven right. So anything that he does just looks like he's just, you know, just weak, in my opinion.
Hart, what do you make of that?
Well, first of all, and I haven't, I'll be honest, I can't think of every game, but is that the best game in the international series?
Stand by. I mean,
of all time.
Oh, of all time.
You have the defending Super Bowl champions against, so you have the theatrical Tyreek Hill storyline, but you also have the belief that the Dolphins are, if Tua is healthy, a really high potency offense, a really good football team that is loaded up, got Ramsey, got Chubb over the last year. I feel like that might, between the two teams and all the star power represented there, I feel like that might be one of the biggest international games in the history of whatever it is.
All right, 10 years. So I'm looking up. Let's see here. So what these started, I guess, these are the London games they started in 07.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to. So the 07 game was Giants Dolphins. The next year it was Chargers Saints, then it was Patriots Bucks. Wow, Hart, you might have stumbled on something here because
best player on the planet for the defending Super Bowl champions is playing a game against a team that has two superstar wide receivers, a bunch of star players on both sides of the ball, a sort of a marketable. I think that might be the biggest international game, and that's probably by design. Like, they used to be almost like, you know, not real games, like exhibitions. Now it's like
Thursday night games where, like, with two crappy teams and nobody wants to be there. Yeah, now they're feeding them good games.
Right, that's a good game with star power and storylines, and I think that is, again, part of
I can't believe they gave it up, to be honest with you. Like, it just shows how committed they are and how serious they are about growing that international market to take one of their best commodities and farm it out to Germany, farm it out to London, instead of bringing it to Kansas City or to Miami so they can grow their fan base. Like, Miami, it's not like Miami has been selling out, you know, in their history so far.
But it was supposed to be that's the thing. It was going to be a Chiefs home game, so they know they're going to bang it out anyway. They don't have to, like, Kansas City doesn't have to think about that. Plus, and this gets back to Andy Hart and the whole, oh, yeah, we're at $20 billion in revenue. The handful of teams that have the German territorial rights, New England's one of them, so is Kansas City. So by putting a good game over there, if you're Kansas City, it's the whole, hey, we put our flag in the ground, our quarterback ain't going anywhere, give us a decade's worth of your whatever the money is in Germany.
Oh, there's a lot of money to be made over there. And I would also say what something that may play into it, Christian, is it's a different generation, but it's the Hunt family. And the original NFL was built on what's good for all of us. What's good for the game is good for all of us, right? Like sometimes you have to give up a little something in your local to advance the overall game, right? It was a group mentality, and maybe the Hunt family is open to that sort of mentality as it grows globally. To what Gresh said, that you're in the back end, you will make plenty of money over there, more than you would have for one home game that you're losing out on.
No doubt. And in fact, the Dolphins not only will go to Germany to play the Chiefs in Week 9, according to reports, it is Dolphins-Jets on Black Friday. That will be very interesting. Some say he is a black heart, but we disagree. Andy Hart of WEEI.com and the... That's right. Well...
Christian just laughs.
I know. We'll let it go. Hart's talking about his big D on Twitch. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. See you, Hart.
See ya.